We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Part of what we have to keep in balance, and Matt has to help us do that, is that we want to sign a contract with Matt that's respectful and competitive with him, but one that positions the team we can continue to keep talent around him.
It's about the team first. It's not about Matt Ryan first. It's not about me first. It's not about John Michaels first. It's about the team. It's about our Falcons. We love the Falcons. Let's go, Falcons. Rise up. Rick Kambla and John Michaels live from Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs and Roswell here on National Signing Day. And we're talking Falcons right now. And Arthur Blank put it out there, I think, brilliantly. Yo, Matty Ice, I don't know where you are. You're vacationing. You're playing hoops, hanging out with the kids, maybe in a pool somewhere. Guess what? I'm going to plant a little seed in the back of your head, like a little computer chip. I just slice the back of John's head and put a little computer chip in there, and then I can find John wherever the heck he goes. That's what Arthur Blank just did to Matt Ryan. Yo, Matt, we're trying to win a bowl here. We came a little bit short. We're going to need a team-friendly deal to keep the studs here that we need to keep here and continue to augment the team. So I love what Arthur Blank did.
And I'll go back to my Vision Computers Twitter poll that I put up on my own personal Twitter page. Again, you can search on Twitter my name, maybe a space, and then the numbers of the radio station, and you should be able to find me that way. But, again, the question was simple yesterday. What do Falcon fans consider a team-friendly or fair deal for Matt Ryan? Does he need to take a discount to make you feel better? Number one was max deal, whatever that may be, 5 years and 135, 140.
I think $30 million a year over 5 years.
So 150?
Yeah, I think 150 over five, that would be pretty much max money.
Second was five for 135 like Matthew Stafford. Third option was five for 100 million, just like his last deal. And then the last extension was for the Matt Ryan haters. Do not sign him to an extension.
What percentage is that?
Max deal is 18. Five for 135 equal to Matthew Stafford, 33% of the vote. Five for 100 mil getting 42% of the vote, and the haters only wanted 7%. It's only 7% that say don't sign him to an extension. Now, I did get some answers underneath. Let's see here. I think Matt would go for a slight raise with all of it guaranteed, also with incentives for winning playoffs in the Super Bowl. Here's another one. Nick Foles is out here winning Super Bowls with less talent at skill position. Let him go and use the extra cash to build the defensive and offensive line.
Timeout. Stop right there. Just stop right there. That is so incorrect. Julio Jones is the best skill player among the Falcons and the Eagles.
Right.
But the Eagles have the deepest backfield in the NFL. The deepest. Mm-hmm. Nobody's deeper. And think about their wide receivers, bro. Torrey Smith is off their bench. He's their third down guy. Nobody is deeper at tight end than the Eagles with Trey Burton and Brent Celek behind, of course, Zach Ertz. You've got Clement. You've got Ajayi, and you've got LeGarrette Blount. You've got Kenyon Barner. Darren Sproles wants to come back, and he was on the roster.
Right.
The wide receivers, you got Aguilar. Of course, you have Alshon Jeffrey. Give me a break in terms of depth and overall talent from 1 to 3 at tight end, wide receiver, and running back. Philadelphia's got us all day.
Boy, running back is close because I think our top two are better than their top two. There's not even think. I know our top two are better than their top two. But when you add in Clement, the way that he played, the Blount, obviously, with everything that he's done, Jay Ajayi coming over, their tight ends are, they've got three tight ends, and I think any one of them could start here.
Give me your, Brent Celek would start for our Falcons.
I think Trey Burton would start for us.
Hey, you want to mention a free agent I wouldn't mind us going to get? It's Trey Burton. When Zach Ertz was hurt, he got busy. So I'm just saying, like, I love Free, I love Coleman, I love Julio and Sanu and all these guys, but when you put them all in a hopper, in a blender, right, and it spits out a result, to me, it says Philadelphia's overall skill talent is better than ours.
Well, and then take away the skill talent. Yeah, the offensive line. Philly had arguably the best offensive line, even with injury,
yep,
in the
no
NFL.
Doubt. No doubt. The best center in football, yep, in Kelsey. Yeah, I mean, you're right. So, look, I love my birds. I think we're winning the Super Bowl next year, but I just had to disagree with that take real quick.
Now, here's what we bring up. There is somebody that says, quote, the Falcons are close to winning a Super Bowl. Who would that be? That would be Falcons owner Arthur Blank.
Let's go.
There was an article with Vaughn McClory. He says, you know, I think we're close. He said, obviously, we were there last year. We got to the second round this year. We could have proceeded further, but we didn't. So I think the team is in good shape. We have some areas that need to be improved and worked on, and I think Coach Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff are aware of those. That's why we have the draft and free agency, and we'll be focused on those.
Can we, like, wouldn't it be great if you could just set out your goal in free agency in the draft? I want to get better in the red zone right now. And then, boom, you just snap your fingers and you are.
Now, is that a five-star recruit, better in the red zone, or is that just a three-star?
Let's get Matthew Hill of Brookwood, man. He'll help us in the red zone. But that's it, dude. We moved the ball. We had a top-10 offense in terms of yards. And Sark has that little nugget on his resume for all the haters. Yo, I was a top-10 offense. Now, some of the play calling and execution in the red zone was terrible and not even close to good enough. And that's why, you know, we didn't get past the second round of the playoffs. But, yeah, in terms of Arthur Blank saying this, I like it because I agree with him. I do think we're close to a Super Bowl. Again, ESPN has a seventh. It's only one rating service, but ESPN has the Falcons seventh on their power rankings right now. That means you're a contender. And, oh, by the way, we're only going to get a lot better through the draft and free agency, which maybe would bump us up to five. I don't know. And I don't know who the six teams are above us. I'm guessing Packers, Steelers, Seahawks, Patriots,
okay,
Eagles, usual suspects.
Stop for a second. Why in the blue hell would the Packers be ahead of the Falcons? Their defense sucks. They have receivers who are old. Aaron Rodgers, who's coming off an injury. Who is the starting running back for the Packers?
Well,
it doesn't matter who the starting running back for them. They're not good, and they're not better than the Falcons, and we own them.
Not.
And every time we play Aaron Rodgers, they're down 31-0, and Aaron Rodgers throws some fourth-quarter touchdowns. Please, I hope we – I said this back in week two when we played the Packers. We could play the Packers 16 times. We'll be 14-2. We're not losing to that crap team.
I love that I hit a nerve here.
I get tired of hearing about the Packers.
With John Michaels, as we come to you live from Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs on Roswell Road. I'm trying to go here. All right, John, number one, the Patriots.
Okay, that's fine.
Number two,
the Eagles.
Yep.
That's fine.
Number three,
Pittsburgh.
Yep. Number four,
Dallas.
Minnesota.
Okay, I can deal with that
Number five, Jacks. Number six, I'll give you another guess.
The Packers.
It's not.
Oh,
it's
really?
The Saints.
Okay.
Actually, I'm wrong. The Packers are not ahead of the Falcons on the ESPN power ranking. But I do like that it hit a nerve and got a huge rant out of you that was anti-Packer, which, of course, I covet. Falcons 7, Packers 8. I'm running down ESPN's way, way, way too early power rankings. Rams at 9 and Panthers at 10, Seahawks 11, Chiefs at 12. You get the rest of the idea. I think they have the Falcons right about where they should be. I think we're a true, blue, legitimate championship contender. And hopefully next year, John, we can tie it up with a bow do it.
We get the angry text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Sick of the delirious optimism. Let me get some unbiased radio. Falcons aren't winning the Super Bowl. It's just sad we're hearing reaches as for why the Falcons can win a Super Bowl. The window is gone. Put your name on it, first of all. Be a man and go ahead and shove your name on there so we can give you credit. Where would the window be gone?
I don't understand
Is suddenly Matt Ryan retired and Julio Jones retired and – Deion Jones is no longer an up-and-coming star at middle linebacker. Window gone is the Seattle Seahawks, who are falling apart and didn't make the playoffs this year. I'd argue that window's gone is the Green Bay Packers, who people keep trying to prop up as this great team. Atlanta's still in the middle of their window. Now, do you need to have things go right to win the Super Bowl? Yes. You were good enough to win it the last 2 years. You did not get it done.
I mean, that's just look. That's just a bad take. There's a whole lot of inaccuracy in that text. But keep them coming on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. I'm buying what Arthur Blank is selling, and I don't think Arthur Blank is selling. I think Arthur Blank is calling it like he sees it, and he's calling it like it is. The Falcons have a roster that could win the Super Bowl, guys and girls. We won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
And then we lost it.
But we won that game. 28-3 is game over. Mm-hmm. Everybody says it. Everybody thought it. And it was the greatest comeback in the history of American sports. And said another way, the most disappointing collapse in the history of American sports. So I was going to say it happens, John. Actually, that doesn't happen. 28-3, they're like, you can't just pass that off that stranger things have happened. No, stranger things actually haven't happened than 28-3.
Right. And then we get people that say, Scott texts and said, Devontae Adams is better than Julio Jones. Sure he is.
What?
Sure he is.
Stop it.
You know who's
better? It's time to shut down the Solomon
Brothers. Why don't you
Diamond
just tell me Devontae from Jodeci is better than Julio Jones while we're at it? I mean, come on.
What's Jodeci?
You never heard of Jodeci?
I don't know.
Look, you're getting looks from over here. Like, are you kidding me?
I don't know what Jodeci is. What is it? Is
it's
it
R&B? It's one of the great R&B groups of the. It's a group.
It's a group. It's not just one dude.
Now you had to, didn't you have to sing Casey and JoJo?
Yeah, I believe I did.
Yeah, that was two members of Jodeci.
Could I lose another bet for the love of God? Dude, I am out with these bets. I had to dolly up juice boxes for you based on the Super Bowl and sing Jimmy Buffett.
You know what would have been better for me if I would have bet you that you would have bet that Miami does doesn't get Patrick Surtain and Tyson Campbell? They actually would have got him today because your track record right now is kind of slim.
It's pretty – hey, I'm good at picking players. My fantasy basketball teams are doing all right, but woo. Yeah, some of these game predictions have been a little nutty. Rick and John here, we're hanging out at the headquarters. Not the national headquarters, but the local headquarters.
Right.
For National Signing Day, of course, Stars and Strikes here in Sandy Springs.
I will say this with the window and talking about the Super Bowl and are the Falcons still contenders? And they're absolutely contenders. Will they win it? I don't know. You need things to go your way. You need to win a regular season game sometimes to secure home field advantage. You need games like Arizona beating Seattle 2 years ago where we didn't have to go on the road at all. You need all of those things to happen.
John, you just took me to a thought I had during the playoffs. And whether you agree with Rodney Harrison of NBC Sports or not, he thought that going to L.A., coming back home, going up to Philadelphia, that sapped the Falcons. And that's why they kind of ran out of gas and didn't score any points in the second half. That's a little bit simplistic for me. I think there's more that goes into it. But Rodney Harrison is a Super Bowl champion. He played the game. So there's got to be a little bit of validity to that. And if there is, John, what it's on our team to do is not lose to Buffalo and frickin' Miami and get to 12-4 and 13-3. So even if you're not the number one seed, at least – you get a first-round bye, you get that first game at home, and because, dude, it really was kind of, as we look back on it, John, too daunting of a task to go to L.A. and win, go to Philadelphia and win, and go to Minnesota and win, right? Just looking back on it, that was not in the cards. And based on how Minnesota faded against Philadelphia,
right.
And like I told you, I like our chances going up to Minnesota and beating the Vikings, and I will take it to my grave that I think we would have won that game. But when you got to go back-to-back-to-back road wins to get to the Super Bowl, how many times has that been done? Two or three?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that is a super rare act of God run in the NFL playoffs, and we just weren't up to it.
Well, and especially you go to the West Coast, and remember you leave a day early to go to the West Coast. Now, you were fortunate it was Saturday to Saturday coming back, but that's still, we didn't land until 7 o'clock Sunday morning. I was on the flight. No excuse. You had your opportunities to win. You get first and goal at the 9 with four chances to shove it in the end zone and move on. You've got to make that happen. The number one thing that has to be fixed on this football team is the red zone woes.
Period.
And I know some of that will come into play with who's at guard, who's at fullback, do you have a tight end. You have to find ways to, A, get Julio the ball more in the red zone. I don't care if they're double or triple teaming him, get him the damn ball. You also have to find ways to get back to the mismatches 2 years ago where it was Tevin and Devontae coming out of the backfield.
I'm with you. And in terms of Julio, we talk about the midday throw, the lob to him. And I'm not talking about a back shoulder that Matt Ryan is kind of weird at throwing. And I'm not talking about that dropping in the bucket throw it to the back pylon. Just throw it up in the air, jump ball style, and let Julio go get it. You know what I'm saying? We're overthinking this. How many times did the New Orleans Saints just throw the jump ball to Jimmy Graham?
Either that or they'd get him in a man-to-man where you had the corner have to go, okay, am I throwing the jump ball or is he going to run the slant? And he's just bigger than all of us.
And Tony Gonzalez, what did Matt do?
Threw it
right over the middle, right at the goalpost. Tony, go get it. And he would high point the ball. So that's not a back shoulder throw. That's not a, you know, OTS throw to the corner. That's over the shoulder. That's just throw it up and let your biggest player go get it. So let's look at this power rankings, John. Do you think that the New Orleans Saints should be above the Falcons in the power rankings?
You could argue that. They won the division. And as much as I hate to give credit to the New Orleans Saints, you have a great young backfield in Kamara, Rookie of the Year, and Mark Ingram. Michael Thomas is one of the best receivers in the league. Drew Brees, although the arm strength is dwindling a little bit, still throwing it there, and their defense improved. I'm not mad at that. You can make that argument, and we split the two games with them.
You're killing me, but I'm not mad at you, and I don't disagree. Jacksonville ahead of the Atlanta Falcons?
No, I'm not buying Jacksonville.
Not ahead of us.
One playoff run out of Blake Bortles does not – and they've got a great defense. Their offense is still a work in progress.
There is a Miami, hoodie at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs.
He just signed with Mark
Richt. Welcome, gentlemen. By the way. Welcome. The Minnesota Vikings are at 4. They're ahead of the Atlanta Falcons in terms of ESPN's way too early power rankings. I don't agree with that, though. Here's why I don't agree with it. Minnesota is a choky, roll-over-and-die franchise. That's their way. We talk about you can't escape your history, and hopefully we can. Well, guess what? The Vikings can't escape their history being a terrible, terribly choky team. Would the Falcons have lost 38-7 at Philly? Oh, wait a minute. We played them the week before and lost 15-10. Give me a break. We're better than Minnesota.
Again, we lost to Minnesota. They made it to the NFC title game. I'm not mad. But they also have Case Keenum at quarterback next year.
Maybe.
I will take Matt Ryan. We do the NFL Bounce coming up next. We're live here at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Part of our National Signing Day Frenzy brought to you by Score Atlanta and 92.9 The Game. Part of the NFL Bounce, I'm just going to let you know, Georgia is just, they're loading up. And it's ridiculous. And Mark Owens is next as well. 92.9 The Game.
Let's bounce. We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we are back with our NFL Bounce National Signing Day, and we are at headquarters at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs on Roswell Road. I want to talk about Josh McDaniels, John. Boy, is this a... So, I was going to say it's a weird situation, but it's really not. It's a weird owner. And to me, what Josh McDaniels just proved, and what Matt Rhule, the Baylor coach who interviewed for the job and then pulled out, yeah, that's right, the Baylor coach with one win last year, eschewed the Indianapolis Colts of the NFL. Jim Irsay is their owner. Jim Irsay is a nut job. Jim Irsay is unpredictable. He's volatile. He's emotional. He's exactly the owner you don't want if you're an NFL head coach, because you know in 2 years, John, he's going to go, and he's going to fire you. So to me, is there a more toxic job in the NFL right now than head coach or GM for Jim Irsay and the Colts? I don't believe that there is.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think this one was on Jim Irsay, though. I think this is on Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft. Indianapolis had already sent out the tweet, get ready for our introductory press conference with Josh McDaniels. And then a little bit later on, you go, Josh McDaniels isn't taking the job. The rumor is that Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick called him in and were like, we're sweetening the deal. And now the extended rumor on top of that is, could this be the end of Bill Belichick? Like, legitimately, could Bill Belichick be rethinking it or maybe going on a farewell tour? And you already know that Josh McDaniels will be the coach in waiting.
I'm buying one of those. I'm not buying the other. I'm not buying that Belichick, that this is a sign that Belichick is done. I'm not buying that. But if you tell me, because you remember when DeAndre Jordan wanted to sign with the Dallas Mavericks, the LA Clippers, Doc Rivers, and all those guys, they literally went, I believe, to DJ's home in Houston and would not let him leave.
They kidnapped him, basically.
They basically kidnapped him and forced him to re-sign with them and leave the money and the years on the table for Mark Cuban. So that is probably what this feels like. And you know, I don't know if it was so much the nutty owner as it is, you know, Bob Kraft stepping up and saying, all right, Josh, you know, you're at 1.1, one of the highest paid. I'm going to bump you up to 1.7.
Right.
And so you're basically going to make, like, low-level head coaching money to be the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. And, John, at that point, why would you leave? You know, you've got a low-pressure job in terms of media and all that stuff. You can just focus on the offense. Oh, and by the way, your quarterback's Tom Brady. It's a pretty good gig.
Mm-hmm. It is. To me, it's one of the few times in sports that I look and go, I can't believe that just happened. Because when a team sends out, you got to remember, Indianapolis had already signed a couple of position coaches who had left other jobs to go be like DB and defensive coordinator in Indianapolis because they had already been told that Josh McDaniels is the coach. And for him to back out, I get it to a point, but it's kind of a sleazy move.
Is it Billy Donovan-esque?
Absolutely. It's exactly what it is.
Taking the Orlando Magic job. Wait, didn't Billy Donovan have the press conference?
I think he did,
like 3 days later. He had the press conference and then reneged on the deal. You got to be kidding me, man. And for Josh McDaniels to do this, he's already got this reputation as kind of a jerk and kind of a punk and, you know, cocky and arrogant and all that kind of stuff. Boy, this only adds to that legacy.
Well, and there's some people that are saying Indianapolis might have got off easy because, let's be real, he wasn't very good as a head coach in Denver. And maybe he's a great offensive coordinator because he has Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and all the stars they have in New England. That could be a blessing in disguise for Indianapolis. But now where do you turn if you're the Colts? I mean,
Kirby Smart. You couldn't get the Baylor coach, John. You couldn't get the freaking Baylor coach.
Do you call Nick Saban?
All of them. They're not going to pick up the phone, but yeah.
Do you call Urban Meyer?
Again, Tony Romo. I'm telling you right now. He's not going to want it. I mean, he's got a cherry life, you know, a cushy life. I'm telling you, Tony Romo, I believe, could be a really good head coach and or offensive coordinator in the NFL. I'd call Tony Romo.
At this point, what's the difference?
Call Peyton Manning.
And see, the other issue with Indianapolis is now, how healthy is Andrew Luck really going to be? Because remember going into last offseason, he's only going to be out for training camp.
I wasn't buying that, though.
I fell into it like, all right, you know, these guys normally come back. And he never plays a snap.
Yeah, I was wrong about Le'Veon. I thought the holdout would hurt him. It didn't. I was right on Andrew Luck, totally off of him in drafts. Much the same with Kawhi Leonard coming into the basketball season. I wanted nothing to do with him. He's got this weird quad/knee injury. When you see quad/knee, that means they really don't know what the hell is wrong. And so I'm out on that. But you're right. Like, if you're a head coach and you want to come, like if Andrew Luck is that franchise guy, you got something to work with.
Right.
You don't know that you're going to have the real Andrew Luck.
Couple of names that are out there real quickly. Frank Reich, offensive coordinator of the Eagles.
I'm not mad at that.
Could be an interesting one.
He's
there.
He's been a coach for a long, long time.
And Leslie Frazier, who's a defensive
terrible. Terrible. Oh, my God, was he bad as the head coach
of the Vikings. You have a PTSD with him?
No, I've heard he's an amazing human being. I'm not trashing him. And I think he's a good DB coach or defensive coordinator. John, I talk about it all the time. He's one of these guys that's in over his head as a head coach. That there's just some guys who are in over their head, and he was one of those guys. He got too high of a promotion. So I'm not feeling the Leslie Frazier thing, but I'm feeling the other guy, Frank Reich.
Okay. Frank Reich would be an interesting one as well.
So we are blessed with the presence. Now, I have not met you, but we have a young man here. He is smiling. He has made his decision. Please introduce yourself to Atlanta and tell him where you're playing next year.
Well, my name is Kamari Thompson, wide receiver.
Kamari, nice to meet you.
I played for Central Gwinnett, but I signed to the University of Missouri.
Congratulations.
Now, see, he's from my neck of the woods. I live like 3 miles from Central Gwinnett, so I live right off Sugarloaf and Five Forks. Trickham, you got to play with Jaren Williams, your quarterback, and I've seen a lot of highlights for him throwing the ball over the place, assuming you were making a lot of those catches.
I did, but Jaren was a fantastic quarterback. He did everything that Central Gwinnett asked him to. Unfortunately, we didn't have the best season, but the numbers were there, and I was glad to play.
Speaking of numbers, I'm a numbers guy. I'm a fantasy football player. I don't know if you are or if you aren't. Kamari, give us your numbers last year.
I had 83 catches, 1,134, and 12.
Ooh, nice. I like it.
And you're going to a place now, and you got the Missouri hat on with Drew Lock that is going to sling the ball all over the yard. You looking forward to that?
I am. They have a saying up there. They say if you're not open at 40, you'll be open at 60.
That is terrific. So what is your height and what is your weight, Kamari?
Currently 6'2", 195 to 200, around that range.
Really? Okay. We had Matthew Hill here from Brookwood. Same height. He was about 10 or 15 pounds lighter than you. So are you still growing? I mean, do you think you'll get to 6'3", 6'4", maybe 210, 215?
I gain muscle very easily, and I think I am still growing, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Love it.
Be happy that you're still gaining muscle. When you get to our age, that turns into Jell-O. I drink a soda, and I'm 10 pounds heavier. Now, did you sign papers today, or did you sign back on early signing period?
I signed in the early signing period.
Let me ask you, as a high school recruit, and I know this is your first year, obviously, going and signing, do you like the early signing period? Do you like the chance to get that pressure away from you and not have to wait all the way to February?
I do. It took a lot off of not only me but my family, and it got me focused on what I need to do on for the next stage. So I think it's an amazing thing that they decided to do.
You know what's amazing is the high school kids that are so ahead of their school that they can tap out in like January and enroll at their new school and get such a head start on the next season. Are you there, or are you going to graduate in the spring and then go to Missouri?
I graduated in the spring. I think I was 2 credits short from graduating early, but I'm on track to graduate for the spring and get to Columbia.
What was the recruiting process like for you?
It was nerve-wracking, to be honest. But it was a blessing at the same time. A lot of thinking to myself, thinking with my family and friends, and man, I'm just happy I can play football at the next stage.
How much do you ask? And we always try to figure out, you know, 17 and 18 year olds, your minds change every day. It's social media. It's people bothering you. How much was it truly sitting down with your family, sitting down with your friends and coming to a collective agreement? Or was it just you saying, Missouri's the spot for me?
It's really a family agreement. Because I'm a family-based person, and I want my parents to be able to come to my games. And I feel like I'm not only impacting myself, but I'm impacting the people around me. So I'm talking about hours on hours of thinking. I think it took me a week, like, to sit down with my family every day and decide where I wanted to go. And ultimately, it was Missouri.
A really bright young man with us right now. Kamari is your first name. I didn't get your first name. What's your last name?
Thompson.
Thompson. So Kamari Thompson is going to Missouri. And a great point by John. They've got good wide receivers. They've got a terrific quarterback who's got to improve his NFL stock. That's why he's going back to Missouri, because he didn't get a good grade from the evaluators. So he's going to be out there throwing the rock to you and to the others, trying to get his way to the NFL. Why didn't you pick Georgia, Kamari? And talk to me, like, in terms of, did Kirby Smart recruit you or what?
Georgia did recruit me. Because this was my first year coming back to playing football. I went up there when they
had... What do you mean? What happened? Why were you back playing football?
I actually took 2 years off to run track.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so...
And you still got the hands, right?
Always.
You had 1,100 yards to prove it. All right, so talk to me about Kirby recruiting you.
He recruited me, not only him, but Coach Cooley. They were going to, you know, they were waiting to see how I pan out because it was my first year. But, you know, I love Georgia, but I feel like I couldn't make a name for myself here. So,
what were some of the other schools in the mix with Missouri?
I like Purdue. Purdue was one of the top schools for me.
Was it the coach?
Yes.
The energetic coach they got?
Yeah, Jeff Brohm.
And it was just – it was a hard process. And then when I took my official to Missouri, man.
Blown away.
Blown.
So what is that? Kamari Thompson just kind of rocked his head back. And, dude, it was like you drifted back to nostalgia days, man. Like, what happened on the recruiting trip?
Just seeing
Not only
seeing the facilities and they got the, being able to see the players and how they interact with the coaches up there. It's just a family, and I want to be a part of that family. And I feel like I can grow up there.
It's awesome.
Well, Kamari, you're dressed for success. He's got the sport coat on. He's got the chain rocking. He's looking good.
You see the black bow tie?
Got the bow tie as well. We wish you the best of luck, and congratulations to you and your family on what's an awesome day for you guys.
Thank you.
Kamari Thompson with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, our National Signing Day Frenzy, all brought to you by Score Atlanta and 92.9 The Game. We'll do From the Bible coming up next with the Preacher Man on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
All right, lots more fun to come here on the Midday Show with Rick and John as we broadcast live on National Signing Day from the headquarters at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs right here on Roswell Road. Thanks again to Kamari Thompson for joining us. The two young men that we have interviewed today, Matthew Hill and Kamari Thompson, God bless their parents and teachers and everybody involved in their life, because they are as classy a young man as I have met. Right around the corner, we have Jason Longshore, Atlanta United radio analyst at the top of the hour, and Anthony Morrow, former Georgia Tech player, longtime NBA three-point specialist. He will join us at 1:20 to talk a little bit of hoops.
You know, Paul, where I'm feeling good, the Gwinnett County Education, obviously very good. Both of those schools are right by my house. So I'm feeling better about my kids when they get done, that they will be bright like Kamari Thompson and Matthew Hill.
Dude, the cost of your house and the houses around your house just went up.
I hope so, because I'd like to, when my kids get out of school, get back inside the perimeter where I don't have to deal with an hour and a half of Paul Bible-like traffic. Preacher Man, it's time for From the Bible.
Yeah, good luck with that, my friend. As we all know, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4, Floods, Dunn Waterproofing. We always like a little crime on crime on this show, at least I do. Let's talk about money. We all like to talk about money, right? Let's talk about who makes more in the postseason, NFL or MLB?
For the players?
For the players.
You mean in terms
probably
of
MLB.
NFL or MLB?
That's correct.
I'm going to take MLB.
You would be correct. So the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. Their playoff or division game round, they got $28K. They also got $51,000 for the NFC Championship game and $112,000 for winning the Super Bowl for a grand total of $191,000.
Okay.
It's a good little haul for three wins.
Yeah.
Not too shabby. The Houston Astros per player, $438,000.
You know why? More games, more revenue, more.
Sure.
Like
also,
that's why,
less
right?
Players.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's only
point.
25 compared to 53.
Very good point. I would say that the NBA share is bigger than MLB and NFL. Am I right about that?
I don't know. It's not in the article. They were just comparing the NFL to the MLB. But don't feel bad for the Pats because their postseason came out to 135.
Well, maybe they can sell some of the 283 diamonds out of last year's Super Bowl ring and get a little extra coin.
Arthur is not happy.
Yeah, you know what?
Arthur is not happy with that.
I'm not real happy with
that whole
either.
Thing. With 283 diamonds.
I just wanted one diamond. Just one.
I just want a parade. I want this town to taste the champagne. That's what I want. Not since 1995. I just want this town to have that party.
We may talk about this later in the week. Would Atlanta have acted as much of a fool as Philadelphia?
Yeah, let's do that tomorrow.
Okay. I think we would have.
Yeah, for sure.
I think absolutely we would have.
No way. No way.
Really?
No way.
You're sitting on an island
no
already?
No way.
Come on.
I can't wait to talk about this tomorrow.
Mark Owens, real quick. Would Atlanta have acted as much of a donkey as what Philadelphia has had the Falcons won the Super Bowl?
Marco is back in the Kia
Studios. Sound of silence from Mark Owens. No, would Atlanta have acted as crazy as a city, as the city of Philadelphia did, had we won the Super Bowl?
No. No, we would have gone wild and out, yes, but I don't think we'd be eating poop off the ground and jumping on top of the
Tell
Four
em.
Seasons and the Ritz-Carlton and punching police horses. No, we would have celebrated like a bunch of adults. Yes, we would have been severely.
You are delusional.
Severely,
no,
we would have been severely overserved. But I don't think you'd see us flipping Priuses on Peachtree. No.
Okay.
Yeah, because nobody in Atlanta drives a Prius.
So
they're doing the burbs.
John, that's not the point. I'm with Mark Owens on this. Okay, we are going to have
a healthy debate tomorrow.
We will take your calls on this. I'm with Mark Owens. Okay, I'll save the rest for air tomorrow. I'm with Mark Owens. No, we would have partied our faces off, but not like those cavemen up there.
All right, this is coming out of the Louisville Courier-Journal. Apparently, Kentucky basketball player Ty Winyard has been showing up to parties on campus accompanied by an armed bodyguard.
Is Ty Winyard a future NBA guy? I would guess that he is if he has a bodyguard. Like,
it's going to Kentucky, probably.
But John, if you're the walk-on, right?
He's a redshirt sophomore from New Zealand. And apparently he's been suspended from all team activities for violation of team rules, according to the UK media relations people.
So he's off the team.
Yes.
Yet he continues to parade himself around campus.
Well, I think this is prior to. This is the suspension is coming from his actions going to parties with said individual carrying a weapon.
Yeah, looking at his stats in 2 years at Kentucky, no, he is not an NBA player. He has scored a grand total of 19 points.
Shut up.
Total. Yeah, total.
So all of that. So essentially, he's parlaying being a Kentucky basketball player into getting some nookie. That's what
Sounds
we're talking
like
about here.
Yep.
And he feels like he needs a bodyguard because maybe he's a total asshat and a bunch of guys on campus want to jack him up.
Could be.
Was that enough slang for you right there?
That was a good amount of jargon all rolled into one. Preacher man.
This is funny because SI has basically broken down the Adidas deal for Derrick Rose.
Uh-oh.
It's incredible. He's definitely supporting the family in this deal. Let's see. According to SI, the deal called for annual retainers of $12 million per season from 2012-13 until 2016-17. All right? So it also entitles him to $11 million. It also included annual royalties up to $6.25 million per year and as much as $4.8 million annually for appearance fees and use of a private plane.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Now, Reggie Rose, Derek's older brother, is paid between $250,000 and $300,000 annually as a consultant.
By Adidas?
Yes. By his contract through Adidas. This is all through the Adidas contract.
So Derek Rose insisted that you just hook up my brother with random money just because I'm Derrick Rose.
And his best friend, Randall Hampton, who's been his best friend apparently since sixth grade and is quote-unquote his assistant, is being paid between $50,000 and $75,000 annually for consulting services.
Which means nothing.
Yes.
Hey, John.
Hmm.
it's good to be buddies or relatives with Derrick Rose. I mean, say what you want about the guy, but at least he's loyal to his homies.
Can you get me $75,000 a year just for being your boy?
I can try. I'm probably going to get denied. I would try for you, John.
That would be nice.
I would, but Adidas is like, is he serious? We have to pay his brother and his best friend. And then the other guy across the table is like, John, if we don't do this, he's going to Nike.
Right.
And so Brad on the other side is like, ugh, throws his hands up and says, fine, pay his brother and pay his best friend.
Rick, if you can get us an LA Gear Lights shoe deal, I will rock LA Gear Lights every day if you get me
so
that 75 grand.
So would I.
I'll be honest, any free shoes I could get, I'd probably wear. What do I care? 43. Kind of out of shape.
You just like the comfy shoes now.
Yeah, dude, it's all about comfort. These Adidas Cloud Foam are the best.
So Derrick Rose's people in Adidas used to send the new roses to all of the on-air talent at NBA TV. Steve Smith, me, Matt Weiner, Vince Cellini, we all got a box of Adidas. Let me just say something right now. I love Adidas shoes. The Derrick Roses are the most uncomfortable shoes I have ever put on my feet.
Well, because you got to pull the knee brace all the way up over the knee when you put them on.
They're stiff, and they're not. They're very weird.
Kinda
they're
like his
they're
game.
Like they're like boots. You know what I'm saying? They're not like they're not like I don't know. They're very uncomfortable. Bottom line, preacher man.
All right, I believe we're out of time. According to Mark Owens, today's research material is Paula Pacheco.
Another Paula.
And that was given to me by somebody on the station. So,
Paula Pacheco.
Well, how do you spell the last name?
P-A-Checo.
It's P-A-C-H-E-C-O, I believe.
We will take
there
a break.
Is.
Yeah, there she goes. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're live here at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. We'll talk to Jason Longshore. Another move by Atlanta United, and they get ready for preseason coming up this weekend. It's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Yeah, we bring you in here, man, Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. UGA bags another one, as they say. Tommy Bush, a wide receiver, he commits to UGA as the Bulldogs just keep rolling through recruiting, and it's, of course, National Signing Day. I'm telling you, John, they're authoring up right now one of the greatest recruiting classes in the history of college football.
If Kirby Smart does not win a national title in the next 4 years, it will be an epic fail. Period.
In the next 4 years?
4 years. Within
I'll
the next 4 years,
if you
said, have to win a national
title. If you said 2 years, I wouldn't buy it. 4 years, I'm with you.
He has to win a national title in the next 4 years.
I'm with you.
You cannot
I'm
put
with
this
you.
Class following last year's class together and not win a championship, and I think they will win a championship.
And the expectation when they signed you was to bring a national championship
Absolutely.
To Athens, so that all falls in line. I'm with you, John.
Let's head out back to the studio, and he's sitting in the comfy confines of the Kia Studios. He joins us each and every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. It's our boy Jason Longshore, analyst on the Atlanta United Radio Network. Jason, how you feeling? It is match week, so to speak, as the preseason opener will be this weekend for Atlanta United.
Ready to get this underway, guys. And like you guys were talking about Kirby Smart, there's pressure on Atlanta United with the squad that they have built. You know, that expectation is big. Trophies are what this team's looking for, and trophies this season are not out of the question.
Now, Jason, as you said that, my thoughts drifted off to a lot of teams will have that ahead of schedule year. They will have that that awesome year when, and I know, you know, they lost the playoff match, but you know, that awesome year, and then the expectations just go bonkers and out of control, and the team comes back that next year and they fail and let everybody down. I'm not saying Atlanta United will be that team, Jason, but a recent example of that is the Houston Astros. They make the playoffs a little bit ahead of schedule, come back the next year, everybody's like, oh, man, they're winning it all this year. And they had kind of a season. And then this next year, this last year, the Houston Astros win the championship. So are you worried a little bit that the expectations might, like, be a little bit too weighty for this Atlanta United team?
I'm not, because of their performance throughout the year last year. It wasn't like they had a hot playoff run at the end. They were the number four team in the league in the overall table. And then you take what was a good roster and you add pieces like Darlington Nagbe and Ezekiel Barco.
that should make this team even better. And you look at the competition around, I think it's a three-horse race in the East, and I think those are your three best teams in MLS overall with Toronto, Atlanta, and NYCFC.
Everything wasn't super positive this week for Atlanta United. Obviously, Yamil Assad now gone to DC United. How does that transpire, Jason? Kind of break that down, why you let Yamil Assad go, what the transaction is, how DC was able to get him.
Well, this is a total MLS kind of move. Yamil Assad was not going to come back to Atlanta United, but Atlanta United retained his rights within the league because they tried to sign him. And the article Doug Robertson had in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution broke a lot of this down, where there were offers made before the season ended last year. There were offers made after the end of the season. There were even offers made for Yamil Assad to come back after Carlos Carmona was sold. Yamil wanted more money and less guaranteed years, and he also probably realized that he wasn't going to see the same playing time here. So he wanted to go. Atlanta was able to bring in $500,000 in allocation money, which is going to help them with their salary cap, for a player that was not going to feature for them this year. So I think it's a great move, and I think what it does is it opens the door for Atlanta United to potentially add another key piece for this season if they want to.
Jason Longstore joining us here on the Wade4.com hotline as we are at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. So Assad is gone. Like, who takes up his spot? And I'm glad you're on, Jason, because I don't know, and you're going to help me make sense of this and a lot of other people make sense of this. So you let this guy go, a terrific player, obviously. My assumption was that they already had a guy in-house, and that maybe, Jason, it was a little bit crowded with Assad on the roster, and maybe this move just sort of frees up the playing time for the other guys.
What happened in this one was they had decided last summer that Ezequiel Barco with Independiente in Argentina was their guy, and they were going to get him no matter what. There were offers made in the summer transfer window to bring him in. Independiente turned them down, and then we got into hashtag Barco watch, where it just kept going and going and going. He was always going to be the guy on the left wing for Atlanta United in 2018, which meant that Assad was not going to come back and play in that role. So for Atlanta to be able to take a piece that you had already decided to move on from, a piece who had value in MLS. You know, this is a guy with 7 goals and 13 assists last year, really as the fourth option most of the season. He had a lot of value to DC United. He had value to Minnesota, who was chasing him too. But what that does for Atlanta is it stretches their salary cap now. And defensive midfield has been a position that we've looked at since the Carlos Carmona sale, is will Atlanta go out into the market and bring in another defensive midfielder? Now they have the pieces and the cap flexibility where they might do that and add another key starter to a team that is one of the best in the league already.
We talked about numbers last week, and 10 and 10, when it comes goals and assists, is a good number. When I see Assad with 7 and, what did you say, 12 or 13, that's a tough number to replace. Is Barco the guy exclusively that will replace it, or is it going to be a collective group effort to replace what Assad just lost?
It's a group effort. It's not going to be a case where you're comparing number to number from Barco and Assad, because you also have Darlington Nagbe adding to the attack, which you didn't really have a fifth guy last year. Carmona added a couple goals and a couple assists. Darlington Nagbe should do more in both of those categories. Might be a little more spread out this year. You might see, instead of Joseph Martinez with 19 goals, maybe he comes back to 15, but Tito Villalba picks up 15 as well. I think what Barco and Nagbe both do is they make this attack harder to key in on one guy. And I think it's going to depend on who the opposition tries to take away as to who has the opportunity to step up week after week.
All right, it's time to test the competitive level of Jason Longstore, radio analyst for Atlanta United, because I and several others will be competing against Jason Longstore in Jimmy Vance's fantasy soccer league for MLS this year. So, Jason, you know, you might right now lie to me for the sake of competitiveness, because you don't want to give me the intel, the proprietary information, of course, that you have from all the years that you've studied soccer. But I would like to know if you're willing to give me a straight answer. Who's going to be the best fantasy soccer player on Atlanta United?
Ooh, that's a good one. Probably Miguel Almiron. Because overall, what he brings to the table is he's going to give you goals and assists, and he's pretty good for high numbers in both. That's a safe bet. Tito Vishalba last year had the double-double goals and assists. I think he's going to be more of a goal scorer this year because I think Barco is going to take some of that playmaking load off of him. Almiron's probably your guy to fill up the stat column on both sides of goals and assists.
So, John, are you buying it? Do you think Jason gave me a legitimate straight answer right there, or do you think Jason was trying to throw me off the fantasy scent with that response?
Truthfully, I think he's throwing you off the scent a little bit because I sense that he is going to be uber competitive with this. He's not going to want a soccer novice to come in and win fantasy soccer over a soccer veteran. I would have told him, Jason, pick Alexi Lalas or Landon Donovan or somebody along those lines.
Or Beckham.
Or maybe, what was it? What was Mia's last name?
Ham.
Mia Hamm.
Yeah, Mia
Hamm. I'm thinking of Mia Khalifa, but
I think
that's a whole different type
it,
of thing.
It should have been Mia Garcia Pop.
Yeah.
It should have been Mia Garcia Para, right?
That is correct.
All right, so you got the first match this weekend, preseason action. What do you expect? I've seen that it's already sold out in Nashville. They're expecting a raucous crowd there. What do you expect this weekend from Atlanta United?
A lot of Five Stripes fans making the trip to Nashville, first off. I've talked to a few, and there's going to be 1,000-plus in Nashville for this. A lot of fans are going to be up there Friday for Dukes and Bell at Tailgate Brewery at Music Row. And then for all of the festivities on the day, there's a chance of rain, and that's the only thing I'm a little worried about in terms of playing time for some guys. We haven't heard of any hamstring injuries coming in, but if anybody's not 100%, you're not going to risk it on a wet field. So I think you're going to see the starters 30, 45 minutes, first half. Second half is going to be a lot of the young guys, a lot of the second string who are playing for spots with this first team roster. Because don't forget, you have a second team this year that's going to be playing over at Colray Field in the USL. You're going to have a lot of competition between these two squads for spots just to be on the squad and then to make every game day 18-man roster.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United radio analyst, joining Rick and John here on the WadeFort.com hotline as we come to you live from Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Jason, have you been to Nashville before?
I have. Great, great town. Can't wait to get up there this weekend.
Have you been to Rudy's Jazz Room?
I have not. That's one I've not been to.
Do you like jazz? Do you like, like soulful R&B, jazz, that kind of thing? You like, the kind of lounge lizard singer with a really awesome band behind him or her?
Yeah, in the right context, in the right mood, yeah, I get into it. I listen to a little bit of everything. I'm totally schizophrenic when it comes to music.
I would recommend, and I say this to, and I went there a couple of weekends ago. Me and my wife were there for a Friday and Saturday night. We finished both nights at Rudy's Jazz Room and had a blast. I don't know about historic, but it's certainly one of the most noted and well-traveled music venues in Nashville. So I'm just trying to help you out, Jason, trying to help you find some late-night fun on the road.
Excellent. I'll be checking that one out.
See, Rick, he's going up there for a business trip, and you're trying to already in preseason game one get him off the beaten path.
Dude, he can drink sodas.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to drink. By the way, Jason, I recommend the Night in Tunisia. It's one of their craft cocktails. It is ridiculous.
Uh-oh, now but we're getting in trouble.
I was going to say, but again, Jason, he's telling you to drink soda. I would recommend Rippy's Barbecue right there on the strip. Just don't try to eat the entire sampler platter by yourself like I have in the past, because then you go into a food coma.
Oh, I can't do that.
So let me ask you, goalkeeping last year for Atlanta United, obviously really good. What does it look like in 2018?
You have Brad Guzan the whole year, first off. You know, as good as Alec Kahn was in the first half of the season, Brad Guzan was just lights out in the second half. What I like is that they still added competition at the goalkeeping spot. They went out and added Mitch Hildebrandt, who was one of the top goalkeepers in the USL last year with Cincinnati, was kind of a cult figure leading Cincinnati deep into the U.S. Open Cup. It's not going to be easy for Kahn to just keep the second spot, and both of those guys are going to push Guzan. You have competition up and down the depth chart for Atlanta United, and it's so hard to do that in, you know, just over a year in building a squad that is competitive and you can plug guys in from the bench and you're not going to have that huge drop off. Goalkeeper is a spot like that for this team. You have guys, three guys that you can have as your number one and not see a huge drop off between Guzan, Kahn, and Hildebrandt.
Now, I know you can listen to the match on 92.9 The Game. It'll be Mike Conte's debut alongside Jason Longshore. Is the game going to be on television anywhere?
It's televised locally in Nashville. This is Nashville's first professional match as Nashville SC. They had a pro team back in the day, the Nashville Metros. But this is really a debut for them. So they're kind of working through TV and contracts, and USL teams have different deals than MLS teams. So local TV in Nashville, there's talk of a stream that is trying to happen. I don't know if it's going to. So stay tuned to Atlanta United on Twitter, ATLUTD, for updates on that.
Very excited to hear the call of Mike Conte, the new play-by-play man, and Jason Longshore. He is now the long-standing radio analyst of Atlanta United. And I know that Mike Conte is a very professional, a very studied human being, well-versed. But to get studied and well-versed, you have to ask questions, and you have to, you know, get out of your box and out of your comfort zone. So what has Mike asked you, and what advice have you given him in terms of doing play-by-play for Atlanta United? Have you had that conversation?
Yeah, we've been talking through it. We're actually just talking through it before I hopped on the mic, talking about what these broadcasts are going to look like and sound like. I'm excited, and it's different. But the thing is, for Mike, you know, he's called everything. So transitioning over to a soccer call is not dramatically different than a basketball or a hockey call, for example, because the action is free-flowing and you're constantly keeping up with where the ball is, where the puck is, what's going on. It's transition back and forth, right? So he's going to slot into that easily. We're talking right now about Nashville and what they bring to the table and what their lineup's going to look like. And then from the Atlanta side, who are the guys who really have a lot to benefit from this week, and who are the guys who, you know, are at risk of losing playing time if they don't have a strong performance this week? I'm just glad we're in preseason and these are the conversations we're having now, as opposed to the transfer market and the silly season of who might be sold to who. This is the fun stuff for me, where you're talking depth chart and you're talking who's going to be the surprise, who's going to be the impact sub, who's going to be the guy who steps up this year to carry Atlanta United to glory.
Jason, can I recommend you guys listen to the Spanish announce call of the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, or the WWE's WrestleMania, and you guys just go back and forth, like, have free autonomy just to talk whenever you want?
I've heard that stuff. It's great. I mean, I listen. That's how I've learned the limited Spanish I have, is from listening to games from Mexico and Argentina, and It's a different style. It doesn't directly translate to what we're used to here, but there's definitely elements to pull from, and I think in a soccer context, there's a ton of crossover.
I think the reason why us Americans love the Spanish call on these games is because it is so different.
Yeah.
It's so emotional. It's such an eruption. I love them.
Go! Somebody's going to go! Go!
Go!
Jason, have a great call this weekend. Thanks for all you do.
Looking forward to it. See you guys next week.
All right, Jason.
Jason Longshore, our guest back at the Kia Studios. We are live here at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, having a good time. National Signing Day Frenzy, brought to you by Score Atlanta at 92.9 The Game. Anthony Morrow, former Jacket, played in a bunch of places in the NBA. He's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, here we go. From Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs and Roswell, talking with Knox Bardeen, breaking down this NBA game, man. And it's National Signing Day. We're out here at Stars and Strikes, the headquarters, talking with Sam Crenshaw. You're going to hear from him in just a moment here. But right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, we have Anthony Morrow, former Georgia Tech Yellow. Actually, he's always a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, longtime NBA player. Splashed threes to the tune of 41.7%. That's the 13th highest three-point percentage in NBA history. Anthony, how you doing this afternoon?
Rick, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. It's my pleasure. John Michaels by my side here at Stars and Strikes. So, Anthony, let's not bury the lead. We, all of us hoop heads, are talking about the Cavaliers and LeBron James. You know, the newest headline on him is that he would never waive his no-trade clause. I'm not buying that, Anthony, because I think if the right cherry move comes up, I think he would waive that no-trade clause. But what's your read on what's going on with the Cavs right now?
I think it's just chemistry issues. I think, you know, you got a lot of different guys that, you know, had a lot of success in terms of winning, been at, you know, conference championships, won actual championships. And I think that, you know, at this point, with all the turmoil going on, nobody wants to really say what's going on in the locker room. You know, nobody wants to blow up their team's locker room or whatever. But I think the main thing is just chemistry. You know, we got point guard issues. You don't know who to play. You know, Isaiah's obviously upset and coming off a hip injury. And I think LeBron's kind of just – I think he's just kind of burnt out at this point. I don't think they've made enough moves that will satisfy him at this point of the season. You know, I don't know if they believe they can beat Golden State. So I think at this point, you know, they just got to get to a place where they can get some kind of energy or some kind of traction to move forward and win some more games. Because I think what we thought was a small problem or a good problem for them is just turning to like a major issue. You know, and now we got egos involved and they got former MVPs. And, you know, there's just a lot going on.
Anthony, we've seen this story a little bit in the past with a LeBron-led team. We saw it in Miami where they'd lose five or six in a row and the sky was falling. We've seen it in Cleveland where they'd lose five or six in a row and the sky was falling. But this year feels different. To me, it doesn't feel like as currently constructed they could turn it on and make it back to the finals. Do they have to make a move by Thursday's deadline?
I mean, honestly, I don't see that helping them right now. Because the only leverage they have is that pick. But who's to say what that pick is going to mean to them if LeBron leaves or if LeBron stays? I don't think that pick means anything to LeBron either. So if you trade the pick, you basically telling LeBron it's okay if you leave because we're moving forward. We're going to rebuild right now anyway. So I don't see it. It's got to be within their locker room at this point. I don't see it unless you get – Anthony Davis or something like that, which isn't going to happen. Like, you got to get one of those caliber players to really make a difference if you want to have a chance to compete with Golden State, which is obviously the ultimate grail for them is winning the championship. At this point, is, you know, even getting to the finals, you know, how they're looking right now, because it's other teams that aren't playing. Like, Golden State isn't playing particularly well the last two or three games, but that looks different than what's going on in Cleveland. Like, Cleveland is like, it's bigger than basketball, and you it's a lot of off the court stuff, a lot of chatting in the media, and those are things that, you know, that's more of an issue for me in terms of moving forward and down the stretch, moving past the trade deadline and All-Star.
Anthony Morrow joining us here, three-point specialist in his day and terrific player, played a long time, Golden State, New Jersey, Atlanta, Dallas, New Orleans, OKC, Chicago, of course, a Yellow Jacket. I want to ask you a Yellow Jacket question a little later on in this interview, but you mentioned something previously about LeBron James being burnt out. And it took me back to Rick Fox, Anthony, told me that when he and Shaq and Kobe and Karl Malone and GP and that whole Laker team that lost to Detroit, they had been in the finals several consecutive years. Rick said the entire team, from Kobe to Shaq to him, they were breaking down, they were mentally exhausted, they were physically exhausted, many of them needed surgery after the year, and he said that's why they lost to Detroit. They were completely out of gas. Are you getting that vibe from Cleveland right now?
I really am. I mean, it's not like they got it. When you're talking about energy, you know, you're bringing guys in just to bring energy to the team, and you got guys that, a lot of guys that base their career off that with intricate parts in championship runs, whether it was, you know, deep in the playoffs. You had guys like Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith, Jay Crowder, those, and Tristan Thompson. Those guys were the guys that could rally around the guys like D-Wade and Derrick Rose in his day and LeBron that would bring that energy, you know, for you know, to rally around them and bring that energy for the superstars. But, you know, it hasn't been that right now. And the guys that I mentioned, they've had success. They've won championships. They've been in finals. And at this point, I think with everything's going on, I think it puts even more of a toll on, you know, a team that's fairly older right now. So you kind of need, you know, they don't have, the right mix of guys. You see they keep messing with their lineup and keep trying to tweak their lineup just to find some energy. And they can't find it right now. So that's a bigger problem for me. And that can definitely take a toll on you more mentally than physically, especially at this point in the season with a veteran, older team.
We've got Anthony Morrow with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9. The game, last night's game, really intriguing, Golden State and Oklahoma City. Anthony, I know early in the year OKC was seen as a team that it was just the mix of the parts wasn't there. The last month, it looks like that mix is finally coming around. Do you think that's a group that stays together with Westbrook and George after this year?
I think so. I don't really buy Paul George leaving, especially if they, you know, go to the second round you know, give whoever they see in that second round a tough 5 or 6 game series. I don't see him leaving, you know, and I don't really see, I mean, I don't know, I'm not really sure about Melo, but I think if they have enough success, for sure, I think Paul George will stay with Russ, you know, and then they can, you know, you got a great GM in Sam Presti, a great organization to be in. You know, they can, you know, make another play and get another guy in there if Melo does leave. But I think that they can build around Paul and Russ. I think if they have enough success this year, I think they'll be fine moving forward. The way they played last night is what I think people expect them to be the whole year. But if they can play, that's as well as I've seen them play all season. So if they can continue to play like that, keep developing those young guys, I think they can make a chance, make a case to, you know, go really deep. You know, maybe second round of playoffs, 5 or 6 game series, make another play in the offseason to get another guy, and then you right back in the Western Conference Finals, depending on what happens with these other teams.
That's Anthony Morrow joining Rick and John live from Stars and Strikes on National Signing Day. This is the headquarters. So, Anthony, you played for OKC, and you played there with Russ, and you played there with Kevin Durant. I have a theory.
Yeah. I'm
not sure that Russell Westbrook really wanted another star there to share the spotlight. He doesn't set the triple-double record with Kevin Durant there. He doesn't win MVP probably with Kevin Durant there. Are you buying my theory that I think Russ was perfectly content with Kevin Durant leaving?
I wouldn't say perfectly content. You know, I think it was more – Russ is definitely one of those guys that's looking for – I mean, he plays with a chip, and he's looking for a chip on his shoulder in any way he can find it. So I don't really think he expected Kevin to leave the way he left, but I think it added even more fuel to his fire to become the MVP, you know, to break that triple-double record. But, I mean, Russ is who he is, you know, so, I mean, he has to play one way. You know, with that being said, you got to put him in positions to do. You got to put him in positions to, you know, be the best player he can be with what he is. He's not like a natural traditional point guard. So you got to put certain pieces around him to make him, you know, successful. I think Paul George is a good B guy to him, like a good, almost like a 1B guy for him. And, you know, just putting a lot of shooters around him. A lot of guys like Steven Adams, the way they played last night as a team, I think that's who they should be for the rest of the season. But it's a lot of that responsibility is on Russ, just in, you know, his temperament and how he controls the pace of the game and controls himself.
Anthony Morrow with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Anthony, Hawks obviously going through a rebuild. They could have some guys that move at the trading deadline. As a player on a team that has kind of openly said they're going to do the rebuild, how do you go through that night in and night out and go out and put the effort forth that this team has done so far this year?
I think it's a mentality. You know, I mean, as a player, you're just thinking about what you can do to make the team better. And obviously as a coach, you're thinking about what you can do to make, you know, to motivate your guys and put them in the positions to be the best that they could be. And let the ownership and, you know, the general managers and everybody deal with that. But it's hard as a player, you know, if you feel like that. Once that kind of creeps into the locker room, it's hard to get that stigma out the locker room. You know, you never want to be a part of it. You never want to hear the words rebuild in the media or, you know, within the organization when you got 26, 27, 30 games left in the season. Especially when you keep guys' morale right, you know, guys can sense summer's on the way or, you know, spring is coming, so it's just one of them things where you can't let that creep into your locker room ever. I've been on bad teams and played in organizations where, you know, right before All-Star break, you start hearing about rebuilding and trades and all that. And then it just tears the locker room apart immediately. So it's really about, you know, having the leadership in every aspect of an organization to not let that mentality creep in at all.
Hey, Anthony, give me a yes or no answer on this. Are you okay with your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets being 4-6 and 11-12 overall?
No, of course not. Of course not, man. What kind of question is that, Rick?
No, I hear you. I wish we had more time. Anthony, we're going to get you back on, and we'll go into further detail on that, but we're short on time, my friend. Thanks for spending some time with us, and be well, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.